If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a larger view of the Force.
Welcome, everyone. My name is DeVore, and you are listening to the premiere episode of A Larger View of the Force, a Star Wars podcast. Folks, they said this day would never come. Actually, no one's ever said that to me, but it sounded like a cool thing to say, so I said it. But in all seriousness, this podcast has been a while in the making, as I'll talk about a little later on in this episode, so I am just pleased as punch that it is finally alive, and that it is out in the world, and that you all are listening. I know that the world of Star Wars podcasts is pretty populated, quite a lot out there, and there are just a whole lot of podcasts in general out there. So the fact that you are taking the time to listen to me, whether it is in the car as you're driving around, or you are at home, maybe you're cleaning, maybe you're exercising, you're taking a walk, whatever. The fact that you're committing this time to listen to me, that means a whole lot to me, and I sincerely hope that I am not wasting your time. So, what we're going to be doing in this first episode is very much a tried and true introductory episode. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, what a larger view of the Force is, apart from a bit of dialogue that Palpatine says to Anakin in Revenge of the Sith. I'm going to talk a little bit about what this podcast is going to aim to do. And then I will do something by way of trying to kind of introduce myself and let you know a little bit about who I am as a Star Wars fan and so on and so forth. So I guess when it comes to talking what is a larger view of the Force, I guess the one sentence explanation, I guess, or description would be is it's going to be a podcast that's going to be taking a bird's eye view of the people, places, and things in a galaxy far, far away. So, you know, what that translates into content-wise is we're going to be doing a lot of analysis. So, looking at, you know, the movies, the TV shows, various characters and themes and motifs and so on, and breaking those down. I'm going to be doing some top 10s, a kind of tried and true staple. Actually, episode 2 is going to include a top 10, so there you go. And we're also going to be doing something that, at least I'm calling Star Wars history. This is going to be something that will be, I guess, something of a recurring series throughout the show. I have a background in history. I have a PhD in American history. And so when I was kind of thinking about this podcast and ways that I could sort of make it unique and kind of put my own individual stamp on it, one way I thought of doing that was to kind of bring my own knowledge of and passion for history into my knowledge of and passion for Star Wars. So, as I said, every now and then we're going to do these episodes in which we will take some facet of the Star Wars franchise, and sort of look at parallels between what happens in either the movies or the shows or something like that, and something that has happened in history. It'll probably, again, because of my own background, probably mostly be kind of U.S.-centric. But if there's other things in, you know, Europe and so on, other parts of the world, I'll bring that stuff in too. So that's just going to be sort of some of that kind of main bits of content that you're going to be seeing. You know, there's lots of folks out there who deal in, you know, for example, talking about news and rumors and so on. And, you know, I might chime in here and there with some of that and kind of offer my takes on that. But for the most part, it's going to be the kind of analysis stuff as opposed to the other stuff. I'll leave that to the folks who know how to do that very, very well. And in terms of frequency, this podcast is going to be dropping on Sundays. At least that's the plan now. My plan is now to have it be a bi-weekly podcast. So that, which is to say, every other week, not twice a week. Mainly, I'm doing that for my own selfish reasons, which is that putting, as I know from other Star Wars content creators, and I will now experience personally, you know, creating podcasts is a fair amount of work. And just as a way to be able to balance my commitment to this with other sorts of life commitments and having enough time to kind of brainstorm topics and, you know, type up show notes and so on, I'm going to give myself that space and do the kind of every other week schedule, you know. Bless the people who are able to do this on a weekly basis or even more than once a week, but I am not one of those people, so I'm going to give myself that little bit of wiggle room. So, in addition to all the stuff that I talked about just a few minutes ago in terms of what's going to be going on this podcast, another thing that I'm really interested in, and I guess you could say this goes back to my own background in history, is I'm very much interested in people's journeys into Star Wars. This is something that I'm going to definitely talk about with guests on the show once I start having guests, hopefully in the not too distant future, be able to get some people on here. I'm really, really interested in seeing, you know, how and when and why people became Star Wars fans and sort of the evolution of their fandom. You know, where did it start and then, you know, where did it kind of blossom into? And so I figured for this first episode, since I am interested in these journeys and individual histories about Star Wars, I figured I would start with my own. And so that's really what this bulk of this episode is going to be, as I'm going to talk a little bit about how I became a Star Wars fan and the kind of little kind of seminal moments along that timeline, the parts of it that I kind of most remember, and then ultimately, you know, the path that led me into starting my own Star Wars podcast. So I'm going to start, naturally, with my first Star Wars memory. And this one, I swear to you, like, if I forget everything else in my life, if I become like an old man and I don't know where I am and I forgot my name, I will remember this first Star Wars memory. It was in 1998. I'm pretty confident of that because I think it would have been before Phantom Menace came out, which is obviously 1999. I would have been 6 or 7 years old. Again, I don't know exactly when in the calendar it fell. But it was 8 o'clock in the evening. I remember this specifically. And my parents and I, we had been babysitting the daughter of a family friend of ours. And the parents had come over to pick her up and take her home. And basically, just as they were coming home, to go back home, on the TV, on TBS, back then it was TBS Superstation, for folks who remember, it's 8 o'clock in the evening, A New Hope was airing. And it was basically, they were kind of on their way out, and I was sitting in front of the TV, getting ready to watch A New Hope. And, like I said, burned into my brain. Like, I will forever remember this. That opening shot of A New Hope, right, where you get the planet, and then you see the Tantive IV fly over, and then you see the Star Destroyer flying over after them. I remember that shot seared in my brain. Also seared into my brain was the very first time that I ever saw Darth Vader. Was that shot of, you know, the stormtroopers boarding the ship and then, you know, all the smoke and stuff. And then they're kind of clearing the way. And then Vader comes through and he kind of stops and he kind of looks to one side and the other. And he's got his hands on his hips and he's looking at the dead rebel troops and so on. And then he's kind of moving on. I will remember that forever. That was my very first exposure to Star Wars. My very first time seeing Star Wars was A New Hope at 8 o'clock in the evening on TBS Superstation. I don't know if it was that one or maybe another kind of repeat showing, but I do know that I recorded A New Hope and I had it like on a VHS tape. I never owned the box VHS set that came out of the original trilogy, but I did record at least A New Hope. I don't remember if I recorded Empire or Jedi, but I did have that. I tried a couple years ago to look around to see if I still had that, because I still have some like VHS tapes, both like movies that I bought on VHS and then like just kind of ones that you like bought and you record stuff on. I wasn't able to find it, but maybe I wasn't like vigilant enough, so I might try and look again. Like, I'm pretty sure like there should be a tape somewhere that has like the little label that says Star Wars. Or it's possible it was, like, on a tape that was labeled something else, and then I re-recorded over it. But Yeah, I remember. I definitely remember having A New Hope recorded on a VHS tape. So yeah, that was sort of my first exposure to Star Wars. Again, I'm saying probably about 1998. And of course, the year after that was the release of The Phantom Menace, right? And the start of a brand new Star Wars trilogy. Now that, it's by the way, I think Phantom Menace may be the Star Wars movie that I've seen the most times, or at least it's tied with. Because I saw Rise of Skywalker in theaters 10 times, and Phantom Menace was either 10 or 11 or 12. I don't remember exactly. My dad would know for sure because he was the one who went with me for most of those. But Phantom Menace is either number one or it's tied for number one. I remember seeing it a bunch of times. And that obviously was a movie that very much sort of resonated and connected with me as a kid. And I think that was probably true for many people who were sort of in those years or maybe early teens at the time that Phantom Menace has come out. And of course, Phantom Menace is one of these movies whose reputation has kind of gone up and down, you know, over the years. There were lots of kind of Star Wars fans and general fans who were quite negative on it when it first came out. But then I think particularly over the past couple of years, particularly kind of saw this around, you know, the 20th anniversary in 2019, there has been a kind of like Phantom Menace renaissance. Like, I think there's a lot of people who have sort of looked back on it more and started to appreciate it more. And I think it's also been influenced, for example, by things like the Clone Wars and Maul coming back on that show and him becoming kind of bigger character. So I definitely remember like watching Phantom Menace. I remember like all of the merch like around Phantom Menace. I remember like going to, for example, like there was a KFC like not too far from the apartment that we were living in. I remember like all of the like posters and stuff and getting like the toys. And I have like the other memory that I have was Christmas. I'm guessing, I don't know when like the merch drop happened. So I'm guessing this was probably Christmas of 99 and not Christmas of 98. I remember like, you know, waking up in the morning, opening the presents, and there being one of those like 12-inch, you know, Star Wars figures of the like B1 battle droid, and getting that for Christmas, and that was like a really big deal. And I think that might be one I still have somewhere. I'd have to dig around and see. But yeah, Phantom Menace was, you know, after the first viewing of any Star Wars, Phantom Menace was the kind of big next moment. So I remember a lot of that about seeing the movie and just like all like the big merchandise and advertising roll around it, around that. Of course, I did see Attack of the Clones and so on what was that, 2002. I think the other next big kind of marker on my Star Wars journey that I remember very, very clearly was 2004, which was the DVD release of the original trilogy. Again, as I said before, I did not own the boxed VHS set of the original trilogy, but I did have and still have. I can see it right now. I can look over as I'm talking here. I had the OT DVDs. I remember, I think there was a gold box and a silver box, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, because I think that must have been like full screen, widescreen, I'm guessing, but I had the gold one. And I still even remember, like, that day. It was a day in middle school where my mom was picking me up from school, and then she had in the passenger seat in shotgun that was there, the box set of the original trilogy DVDs. And, of course, this was the time, 2004, right, when DVDs were still, like, they weren't quite, like, ubiquitous. They were kind of just starting to sort of become a thing. So, like, owning DVDs of anything, particularly DVDs of Star Wars, was a pretty big deal. And I think the thing that I remember most fondly, the kind of big legacy out of that boxed set, maybe the thing I've watched more than even like the movies itself, was the bonus DVD set that had the Empire of Dreams documentary. Like, I have watched that documentary more times than I can possibly remember. I was so glad to see it on Disney Plus when Disney Plus started. I've not actually watched it on Disney Plus yet, but I've watched Empire of Dreams many, many times. It's been a great little, like, it's just a great little, like, look back and almost a kind of, like, pick me up. It's a great little, like, encapsulation of, you know, what Star Wars is and what it means to be a Star Wars fan. And, you know, just seeing all the kind of early trials and tribulations that Lucas had when it came to, you know, filming A New Hope and not getting the people understand it. And, like, his battle with the studios and all of that. Like, that's just been a real kind of sources of inspiration, and it's just been a great kind of like mood lifter. It's something to watch when I'm feeling good and want to feel better, or if I'm kind of like down, I just like pop that on and I kind of watch the story of the original trilogy and feel good. So Empire of Dreams is something that I've seen many, many times, and it's a documentary that I just love. And if you have not seen it, now that it's on Disney Plus, definitely go give it a watch. And then, of course, after 2004, right, came 2005, and that was the release of Revenge of the Sith. And like basically every other Star Wars fan out there, like, I thought this was the end, right? Like, I thought we had seen the very end of, at least, you know, cinematic Star Wars, that the story was essentially done, and it was these six movies. And so, you know, I was never really a when I was a kid at that time, and actually even now since, like, I never really got into the EU, the Expanded Universe, I guess what's now Legends. I didn't watch Clone Wars, either the theatrical movie or the television show, when it started. So basically, after Revenge of the Sith through, essentially, Force Awakens, when that came out, like, I was essentially not plugged into, like, Star Wars content. So I was not watching the cartoons, or I wasn't reading any of, like, the Legends novels or the comic books or anything like that. And nevertheless, I was still very much into Star Wars. And I think, like, if you look over, you know, the course of my childhood and, like, my teen years, and obviously this is true going into my adult years, I think Star Wars was the kind of the one consistent fandom, I guess you could say, is the one consistent fandom in my life. You know, particularly when I was a kid, and when I was an early teen, if you look at me, like, you know, back, you know, circa 10, 11, 12, you know, those years, you know, I had other sorts of things that I was into in addition to Star Wars, you know. I was into Pokemon. Like, I had the cards, I played the Game Boy games, at least some of the early ones. I was into Yu-Gi-Oh!, right, which is a kind of cousin there. Again, had the card, collect the cards, watch the TV show. Dragon Ball Z, I was a huge Dragon Ball Z fan. My best friend at the time and I would watch them, like, he had a bunch of them on VHS. We collect the toys and so on, the action figures. So I had all of these other fandoms that I was kind of plugged into in addition to Star Wars. But, you know, my interest in those and the extent to which I was engaged in them very much was kind of up and down, right? Like, there were times when I was, like, really into them, and then it would kind of step away. And, of course, eventually they kind of faded out of the rotation permanently. But Star Wars has been the kind of one through line. It has been the one that has stayed through all of those years, all the way back to 1998. And if anything, I'm a bigger Star Wars fan probably now in my 20s, sorry, than I was even when I was a kid, or like my early teens and so on. And very much the big thing that kind of sustained my interest in Star Wars back when I was kind of out of the rotation of content and, you know, not consuming new movies or watching the shows or anything, was toys and collecting. I know different Star Wars kind of content creators have different relationships to collecting. Some of them are into it, some of them not so much really. I am very much in the camp of I am a collector, and I have been, you know, so I would buy, you know, the 3 3/4 action figures. I remember distinctly, again, another kind of big memory, I should have mentioned this back in the context of Revenge of the Sith, but when the toys for Revenge of the Sith dropped, I remember I was, like, saving up money in the kind of months before, like, waiting for the day that the Revenge of the Sith merch was going to drop. And then the day that it did, going on at opening time, like, 8 o'clock to the local Target with my dad. And, like, there was actually, like a small line of people, like, waiting there. And they had these, again, people who are collectors will know this. They gave away for those. It was maybe for, like, the first, it might have been, like limited, maybe, like, the first 50 or first 100 or whatever people there. They had this limited edition Darth Vader. I think it was a kind of, like, it was a 3 3/4 Darth Vader with, like, a kind of, like a lava color and, like, red and black, I think. I have it somewhere on the shelf right now, but I can't actually see it. And I got that because I came on opening day for the merch drop, and I still have it. It's still unopened in the box. I still got it mint. And I remember just, like, going to the back where they had the toys, and, like, they had all the toys on the shelves, of course, and just like buying up a bunch of them with all like the money I'd saved up. And I think later that same day, like in the late afternoon or early evening, I went back and then bought some more. I think it easily was like 24, if not more. So collecting and merch has been a big deal. In addition to like the action figures, I am and I've always been big on Star Wars Lego. I got a bunch of Star Wars Lego that I had as a kid and that I still have. Like the sets are like still in piece and so on, intact and everything. And then also I have a huge collection of Darth Vader merch because I'm a huge Darth Vader fan. And that is literally like around me on shelving as I am speaking to you. And it is basically like anything and everything with his likeness. You know, there's the action figures, there are mugs, there are watches. I'm just looking, like there's so much, even like weird little stuff that you couldn't like even imagine. Helmets, stuff like that. I don't even know how many. It's like, it's probably well over 200. It's been a couple of years since I last counted how much stuff I have in the Vader collection. But yeah, so collecting, Star Wars collecting has always been a big part of my experience of the fandom, and it's something that I really enjoy doing. And so yeah, that sort of got me through, I guess, what you might call the lean years of Star Wars, basically that period from 2005 until the Disney acquisition, right? And that was, I think, if you want to kind of find another marker in my Star Wars fandom, I think that's the next big one after that, which is Disney buying Lucasfilm and then the announcement of a new trilogy. And I remember like when that announcement came out that they were doing more films and the announcement for The Force Awakens, that was just like mind-blowing. It was just huge. And I know that's the case for other Star Wars fans because like all of us had thought like that we were never going to see Star Wars in theaters again, right? Like we thought it was over. Like I never thought I was ever again going to see a Star Wars movie in a movie theater in my lifetime, at least a new one, unless they did like a re-release or something. So when they announced that there was going to be this new trilogy, I mean, it was, and then, you know, getting that trailer, that was just absolutely mind-blowing. And that was a real kind of like, a real kind of boost to my Star Wars fandom, right? Was being able to throw back into that universe with new characters and new storylines and so on, and not just needing to like go back to what already exists. So that was really, really big. And of course, I have memories of going to see all those movies. All of those movies, I went, TFA, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, Solo, Rogue One, all of those I went to go see opening day. I don't have any memory about whether the same is true of any of the prequel films. It is possible that I saw Revenge of the Sith opening day, but I don't really remember. But for all of the ones that have come out in the Disney era, I have definitely seen those on opening day. Rise of Skywalker, I actually saw kind of opening night, so which is to say like the evening before the like official release date, I went and I had tickets and went to see that. So this whole new era of Star Wars has been just like really, really great. And I've been, enjoying it a whole lot. So, going into that, I think the kind of next period of time, and I think really like this is the part where if you want to talk about like the road to a larger view of the Force, it kind of starts here. It really starts from kind of 2018 on, I would say. I think that's important. And I think 2018, I think, is important for kind of two big reasons. So I think the first one is 2018 is when I started getting into Star Wars podcasts and really listening to them. I was a late comer to podcasting in general, but I already was listening to some like other podcasts, non-Star Wars. But it was in 2018 that I really got into Star Wars podcasts. And the one that ended up being my gateway was We Serve Droids. And that's in large part because Scott, who's one of the co-hosts, along with Chris, is a buddy of mine. He and I know each other in real life outside of the internets. So it was through knowing him that I got to know that he was doing the show, and I started listening to it and really loving it. And it's really, really hilarious and really well done. And so that ended up very much being a gateway into other podcasts. And it really sort of became a kind of like chain thing where like I was listening to one podcast and like that would kind of they would kind of plug another one, and I would start listening to them. So, like in the case of We Serve Droids, for example, last August, so this was August of 2019, I think it was. They did an episode with Alice and Laura, the co-hosts of Force Toast, Star Wars Happy Hour, and so it was listening to that episode of We Serve Droids that got me to start listening to Force Toast. And then they were on an episode of the Bombad cast. They were on their Bombad build-up episode when they were doing Attack of the Clones. So I listened to them talking about Attack of the Clones on the Bombad cast, and then started listening to Bombad cast because of that. And then it was... I'm pretty sure it was through them that I ultimately started listening to Resistance Broadcast, TRB, because I know they mentioned it a couple of times, so I'm gonna credit Scotty and Jerry for that one, for getting me hooked onto TRB, because I'm pretty sure that's how and why I found out about it. But those four podcasts, I gotta say, are very much the kind of core of my Star Wars listening. There are, of course, many, many other great podcasts out there, but again, because of, like, time is limited, and I have like there are other non-Star Wars podcasts that I want to listen to. Unfortunately, I don't get to quite as many Star Wars podcasts as I would like to, but I might end up adding more in the near future. And I really want to say, like, about those four, I really consider those four podcasts and the kind of their respective creators as podcasting mentors to me, even though I've not talked to any of them one-on-one about podcasting. And they're very much responsible for why a larger view of the Force exists and why I am doing this. You know, there's that Isaac Newton line about standing on the shoulders of giants, and I am very much standing on their shoulders. You know, their shows have very much been examples and models in terms of what good, quality, engaging Star Wars content looks and sounds like. So I am super, super grateful to them for what they do, and for the example that they have set for me, and for the inspiration that they have given me to do this. As I said, I would not be doing it without them. In the show description for this, I am going to throw their names again if you miss them, and also I'm going to throw their Twitter handles in. If for some reason you have somehow not heard of one or more of them, after you are done listening to this, go into your podcast app, find them, subscribe to them, start listening to them. Trust me, you will thank me and yourself for doing it. They are producing some incredible content. And hopefully I will, I hope to have some or a number of them on this show at some point as guests, so we can sort of talk about our mutual love of Star Wars. So yeah, so 28 was big for that reason. 2018, sorry, was big for that reason, which was the kind of start of my getting into Star Wars podcasting. And then the other thing big about 2018 was that was when I finally got into Star Wars cartoons for the first time, the actual television shows, the animated shows. And really, what I have to thank Solo for that. Particularly the mall reveal at the end of Solo. So I had known, even though I hadn't watched any of the animated shows, I was aware of the fact that Maul kind of existed canonically in the timeline at the time, that he had survived the Phantom Menace. So when that reveal kind of came at the very end, I was shocked that they did it, because it kind of felt like a deep cut. And I know it went over, like, the heads of a lot of casual Star Wars fans. But I wasn't shocked in the sense of, like, oh my god, he's still alive. But that was very much the impetus for me to eventually say, like, okay, I gotta actually, like, go back and watch the cartoons and, like, know the backstory here. So this is... Clone Wars was still on Netflix at the time. Rebels, unfortunately, wasn't. But I ended up that summer of 2018 watching Clone Wars and then watching Rebels. So that year was another big two... big factor too, which is I started kind of getting deeper into the canon and kind of moving just beyond having watched the movies and getting into other Star Wars media. So 2018 was sort of big for that reason. I started engaging with Star Wars media and Star Wars fandom much more than I had before, and Star Wars content and content creators. And then, you know, in part because of that, particularly through my podcast listening and the kind of growing number of Star Wars podcasts in my queue. I started, particularly last year in 2019, getting much more into Star Wars Twitter. So, like, actually engaging with Star Wars content creators on Twitter. Not just the folks that I was listening to, but then other people, some of whom don't have podcasts themselves, but are producing other sorts of Star Wars fan content. And so that's also been a kind of big impetus, sort of seeing all these other folks out there, and the content that they're producing has also been very much a source of inspiration to me and ultimately to the show. And so then, you know, going into this year, into the new year, I decided to kind of deepen my knowledge of the canon even further, try to get an even greater foothold. And I started getting much more into written Star Wars, particularly canon novels. And again, going back to this one about, you know, getting inspired by the fandom, I very much have to credit the Force Toast ladies for doing this, because it was listening to their show and listening to them, you know, doing book reviews and so on, and them talking about some of their favorite books, Star Wars books, that ultimately led me to decide that I wanted to start reading some of these other stories that weren't appearing in either live action or animated form. And so a big chunk of this year has been sort of getting into the canon novels. I think right now I'm at the time of this recording, I think I'm at 11 or 12. Alphabet Squadron was my last one. So I'm going to be sort of steadily kind of going through the canon novels. At some point, you know, either when I decide to, or when, you know, we run out of canon novels, which probably be never, so ultimately I just have to decide to do this at some point. I'll probably dip a little bit into Legends, back into the old EU. I definitely want to read the old Thrawn trilogy and the Plagueis novel for sure. Like, that is definitely on my eventual to read list from Legends, but possibly others too as I discover them. I had before this year, before getting the novels, like, I had gotten a little bit into Star Wars comics, and that's mainly just like the Vader comics, because again, I'm a huge Vader fan. So I read like the Charles Soule Vader comic, that series that first came out. I read most of Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. I still have that like fourth volume. I think it's called Castle Vader, that I have yet to acquired to actually read. And I know that there's I think there was like a one volume runoff that one. I think it's called Dark Visions, and I think there's possibly now a new Darth Vader comic series, so I'm a little like behind on that, and that's particularly bad considering how much I love Darth Vader. So I really at some point I'm gonna have to actually like crack the whip and like get on that and actually finish, or at least if not finish, then at least catch up to the Darth Vader comic series. So anyway, yeah, so, you know, this year I've been trying to get more into written Star Wars and expanding my knowledge of the canon, and I've been really kind of enjoying that. In fact, I would say at least at this point, even though I'm not, like, super far along in terms of canon novels, you know, some of my favorite, you know, storylines and characters in all of Star Wars have been ones that I have seen in the actual novels, and obviously this is stuff that we'll talk about in later episodes of this show. And then, you know, ultimately, of course, the other big moment in my evolution as a Star Wars fan is this show. You know, and the idea for this show and me kind of thinking about the show, I started thinking about it kind of back earlier this year, probably kind of in the spring of 2020. I started kind of batting around the idea of doing a podcast. I don't know where the title came from. Obviously, like, it's a Revenge of the Sith line, but I don't know, like, how it came to be. It must have just been like a line of dialogue that popped into my head, and I was like, yeah, it sounds cool, like a larger view of the Force, like, let's do that. But yeah, so I had started kind of like toying around and kind of thinking about, not in any like super serious like planning way, but thinking about like, okay, you know, like, what could I do, you know, how could I, if I wanted to do a podcast, you know, how could I make it unique, you know, what might be some episode ideas. And I had this just kind of percolating in the back of my mind, and I think what was a big kind of final push to ultimately getting to do this, like, I think it was very much, you know, what's been going on in the world with, you know, Corona and so on. Because I think a lot of people, I know this has been true for me and been true for people I know, like, a lot of us have kind of felt a sense of a loss of control in this time, right? With this virus and with quarantine and everything, right? The fact that, you know, so much in terms of, you know, when it's, you know, when is it safe to be with people, you know, where can you go, things around, you know, the job market and so on. There's so much that is outside of our control right now. And there's just a lot of loss, right? You know, loss of life for, you know, for loved ones and so on. And then also just loss of, you know, for some people, jobs, loss of, you know, having to postpone weddings or not being able to go to, you know, gatherings, concerts, sports, seeing friends and so on. So very much this has been a year of kind of, you know, like losing all of these things that populate our lives and that make our lives enjoyable, and also this point of like loss of control, right? That like we don't get to dictate when it's safe to be out in public again, or we don't have any control over, you know, when there's a vaccine or anything like that. And so, in large part because of that, you know, in particularly in the summer months, I've been trying to focus a lot on, you know, things that I do have control over, either like total control or a lot of control over in my life, and you know, trying to find and do things that are fun, right? That I can, that aren't, you know, a threat to, you know, my own health or to public health and so on. And so ultimately, that was the kind of last push to ultimately say, well, let's start this podcast. Because again, this is something that I don't have control over the wider world, but I do have control over whether or not I commit the time to doing a Star Wars podcast. And it's something fun, right? I enjoy sort of talking about Star Wars and thinking about Star Wars and offering my takes and so on. So that ultimately was the kind of, I guess that was the last real impetus that I needed to ultimately decide to commit to going ahead with this. And I guess, I don't know if this is also maybe a marker in this year. I guess you could say it is. But there was another kind of piece of Star Wars content that came out this year, apart from, you know, the series finale, the Clone Wars and so on, that again very much was like Empire of Dreams, like that documentary, was something that reminded me of, you know, why I'm a Star Wars fan and why I love this franchise so much. I'm sure lots of people who have listened or are listening to this podcast have watched it. In case you haven't, I'm going to throw a link to this in the show description. But back on May 4th, back on Star Wars Day, the Star Wars social media accounts put out this video. And it's a minute and 40 seconds long, but it is a perfect distillation of like the fundamental essence of Star Wars, like 200 proof Star Wars. I remember watching this and being blown away by this video, that somebody could capture exactly what it means, what Star Wars means, in just such a short period of time without having to go on and on about it. I'm just gonna sort of talk about that video a little bit. If you haven't watched it, like hit pause, go watch it real quick. It's not that long, and then come back here. But I just want to sort of go through it because it like hits all of these like really big themes in Star Wars. So it first sort of starts off, right? You hear a slow version, I think, of like a part of the Force theme. You see the clip from Phantom Menace of Anakin and Qui-Gon when like Anakin is, when Qui-Gon is taking Anakin's blood to check his midichlorians. And like Anakin is looking up at the night sky and he's like, there's so many. Has anyone been to them all? And then you hear him saying like, I want to be the first one to see them all. And when you hear that bit, there is a cutaway to The Force Awakens. And you see Rey watching the ship sort of take off from Jakku. And she's like sitting outside that like downed AT-AT. And she's got like the X-Wing helmet on and she's just like watching it, right? And then So even in just like for a few seconds, you get that sense of like adventure, right? That's out there, right? A big kind of recurring theme and motif within Star Wars, right? Like the wider, you know, taking your first step into a larger world, as Obi-Wan says in A New Hope. Then you see this cut from there. You go to Yoda in Attack of the Clones or the Younglings, and he says, you know, truly wonderful the mind of a child is. And then there's like little clips where you, there's a cut to Galen kissing Jin on the forehead in Rogue One, and then Wicket in Return of the Jedi, like, taking a little, like, snack from Leia that, like, she's offering him, and he's kind of hesitant. And then you see a little bit of, there's a cutaway to Clone Wars, the scene of Plo Koon when he finds, like, the little Ahsoka, and he's, like, bringing her to the Jedi Order. And I think those little bits, like, sort of from the Yoda onto basically that Plo Koon scene, like, that, again, is a sort of big part of Star Wars. This is something, you know, that George Lucas has talked about a lot. And that, you know, Dave Filoni has mentioned also, like, this emphasis that Star Wars is fundamentally for kids, right? It's about giving kids, like, hope and inspiration and so on. And so that, like, that's a nice little montage. And then from there, right, from that Ahsoka scene, you hear Ahsoka, and she's saying that line where that goes, you know, when you find people who need your help, you help them no matter what. And it's that scene where she's, like, defending the younglings when they go to Ilum. And then there's a cutaway there to, like, Luke and Leia kind of swinging across the chasm in A New Hope on the Death Star. So again, that another sort of theme, a recurring theme in Star Wars, right? This notion of, like, camaraderie and helping out other people, right? And being there for people. And then from there, there's a clip from Rebels when Ezra and Hera are sort of sitting outside on the Ghost, and there's that Hera line about, like, we have hope that things will get better, and they will. And there's, like, a cutaway to Luke looking at the twin sons in A New Hope. Then from there, there's a cut to it's that shot of Finn and Poe on Passana when they're, like, on the outcropping, and you hear Ezra, and then there's eventually a cutaway to Ezra when he's giving that speech from season one, that radio transmission where he's like, stand up together, because that's when we're strongest as one. And then there's, like, a couple other little, and then from there, there's, like, a couple other little clips in there. I think there's one from Jedi Fallen Order. There's the shot of Ben and Rey kind of holding the lightsaber, standing up against Palpatine. But then it goes into the shot from from Lando and Solo when they're on the Millennium Falcon. He says, "You might want to buckle up." And then from there it cuts to Ezra, and you see Ezra kind of looking out of the window of the Ghost, and it does, like, there's, like, the hyperspace thing, right, with the stars stretch and so on. So again, there you sort of transition into, again, another kind of theme and motif in Star Wars, right, which is the notion of, like, the call to adventure, right, to explore, and you're, like, you're going out there, and you're going on your hero's journey, right, whether you're Luke or Rey or Ezra or so on. And then it goes into, and this is the part, it's the sort of, like, dead middle of it, like, this is the part that, like, got me most emotional. It's, like, almost gotten me to, like, crying a couple of times, which is you get to the shot from the season one finale of Mandalorian where, like, the gang is kind of about to go their separate ways, and, like, Mando is cradling Baby Yoda, and then Carol looks at him and, you know, says, take care of this little one, and then Greef Karga says, it'll take care of you, and, like, that's just, like, oof. I remember watching that, and it was, like, I was literally, like, there, like, I was welling up when that scene came up. And then, like, you see kind of connected to that, and then after that, you see the clip of Lando from Rise of Skywalker, maybe my favorite scene in the Rise of Skywalker, which was his We Had Each Other line. And then that's overlaid with Han, Luke, and Leia hugging after Luke comes back from destroying the Death Star. And you see the shot of, like the People's Navy, right, from The Rise of Skywalker when they show up on Exegol. And then you get a cutaway to... And again, that's sort of back again to that this theme of, like, found family and camaraderie and friendship and being there for other people. And then there's a cutaway to you hear Luke saying the line from Return of the Jedi, right, where he says, the Force is strong in my family. And it goes from a shot of him and Leia on the the rebel frigate from the end of Empire. And then from there it goes to Han and Ben on the Death Star wreckage in Rise of Skywalker when he's got his when Han's got his hand on Ben's cheek. So you've got that, and then it goes from there. You hear Yoda, the line from Empire, says, talking about the Force, and he says, its energy surrounds us and binds us. And, like, that's overlaid on Ben and his, like, Ben Kenobi from A New Hope when he's, like, doing a little smile just before he lets Vader kill him. And then you get, like, a couple little sort of like camaraderie shots or, like, so you get, for example, like Jin and Cassian holding hands on the beach on Scarif at the end of Rogue One, just before they die. You get that shot of Rey helping Finn up on Jakku, like when they're running from the First Order. You see Cara and Mando when they're on I'm blanking on the plan at the moment, but the Sanctuary episode, like after they rescue the villagers and they do that little like shaking hand, like hand clap thing. And then after that, it goes to like the last little like montage, because there's like a crescendo with the music, and then there's like the cutoff, and then you hear there's like just like a black screen, and you hear the closing lines from Rogue One. You hear like the rebel troopers saying, you know, what is it they've sent us? And then Leia saying hope. And then it's a cutaway to Luke lifting the X-wing out of the water on Octo in The Rise of Skywalker, and then like Rey looks over to him and is like, has that little smile, and like he's smiling too. So that was just, I like, again, as I said, go watch that. Like even my kind of summary does not do it justice to the kind of the emotional punch that it has. It is an absolutely incredible video, and if you need it to like feel good or just to kind of remind yourself of like why you love Star Wars, because particularly for those of us who are both Star Wars fans and extremely online and are like on, you know, particularly in the world of Star Wars Twitter, it can be a pretty negative place, right? There's a lot of like toxicity and, you know, hate and critique going on and back and forth and so on. So it can be easy to kind of lose sight of that sometimes about why we do this. But I think this video, this does in such a like short, crisp, beautiful package of just distilling the kind of key ideas and themes and the essences of Star Wars. And they're going to be some of the things that we will be touching on this show, on A Larger View of the Force. So that's basically episode one. That's the premiere episode. I really hope you enjoyed, you know, hearing a little bit about me and hearing a little bit about what this show is going to be about. And hopefully I have piqued your interest. Hopefully I have hooked you and you'll be staying along through this journey of this show about talking about Star Wars. So the next episode, which will drop in 2 weeks, as I mentioned at the very beginning, is going to be the first top 10 episode, or at least the first episode that will include a top 10 component. So the topic of the episode is we're going to be looking at lightsaber duels in Star Wars. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about kind of lightsaber duels in general. So, you know, talk about, you know, what makes a great lightsaber duel, and, you know, talk about the way that the lightsaber duel as a form has kind of evolved across Star Wars, you know, from the original trilogy through the prequels to the sequels. And then ultimately I will give my take about the top 10 lightsaber duels in the Star Wars franchise, at least up to this point. We'll for sure going to be getting more Star Wars duels lightsaber duels in the future, possibly maybe even Mando season 2. So that's what you have to look forward to. If you enjoyed this show and you want to keep on listening, make sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are listening to make sure that you get new episodes as they drop. If you want to follow this podcast on Twitter, if you are on Twitter, I will include the Twitter handle for A Larger View of the Force in the episode description. I will also include my own personal Twitter handle. So if you want to just follow me, I post about Star Wars, but I also post about like other things in the world and so on. So if you want to actually hear my take on other things besides just Star Wars, feel free to do that. Until then, I will leave you with the dying words of Chirrut Imwe in Rogue One. Look for the Force, you will always find me.